Morning, good.
Matt, after that, you know, 0-6 start by the A's, we're quite a quick turnaround. You guys are playing a lot better now. Of course, you're always convinced that you have a very good team. But you think that what happened with that 0-6 is something that it was like a wake-up call for all of you guys to say, oh, we're not this team. We could do better.
You know, I wouldn't say a wake-up call because I feel like that kind of implies that you know, we were taking things for granted or acting like we were, you know, big and bad showing up for the year. I don't feel like that was the case. But, you know, it was definitely, we know that we shouldn't lose six games in a row. We know that we played terrible baseball to start. So in a way it made us, you know, pick it up and get back to the way we know we can play. And we've been doing that as of late.
Yes. And the other thing, well, with all of these shifts going along in baseball, you know, it opens holes in the other side of the field. Obviously, the hitters, you know, contact hitters could take advantage of that. But you have a great power, but you still are very able to hit the other way, you know, and for power as well, home runs and line drives to the other side of the field. Is this something you always have in mind, you know, taking advantage of that situation that they're playing you with that shift, almost everybody to the right side?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can't just, you know, keep pulling it. And, you know, the only time you get a hit is if you find a gap or hit a home run. That's a tough way to live. And you got to be able to hit it where it's pitched. Yeah, you know, the shift stinks when you hit one to right field and it's an out, the guy sitting out there. But, you know, the game always finds a way to even itself out. I hit a little check swing yesterday, the left side, got a hit on it. You know, it's the world of baseball we're in now with the shift, and you got to find a way to adjust.
Matt Kawahara.
Yeah. Also a shift question, but from the other side, you guys are playing a lot more shifts this year than I think ever before. And that includes shifting a lot against right-handed hitters. So you're kind of left on that side by yourself a lot. Has that been a big adjustment for you? Or what's it been like just kind of the increase in the number of shifts that you are playing?
Yeah, we have picked it up a little bit, especially righties. I think past couple of years, we've been shifting lefties a pretty good bit. But yeah, when that, some righties that we haven't shifted in the past were doing, and, you know, I think it's good. I've gotten beat a couple times, down the line on, you know, a couple weird swings. but you know, that's the calculated risk we're taking. You know, I like having the chance to be over there and make a play and knowing that it's kind of all on me if something's hit that way. So it's cool. It's good. It's a challenge. You know, there's numbers for everything nowadays, and these are the numbers that are supposed to give us the best chance of getting out. So we're doing it. We're rolling with it.
Do you personally agree with sort of that calculated risk idea? Just kind of buying in on the number angle?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot that goes into it. And I think we do a good job with it, adjusting based off who's pitching, who's hitting. You know, if it looks like the guy at the plate is trying to shoot one the other way, you know, maybe moving second baseman back over to our side. And you know, I think overall we do a really good job with it of, you know, not just finding that one spot to go to and sticking there no matter what, but, you know, having the balance between the analytical shift stuff and actually, you know, playing and watching the game and finding the happy medium.
Simone McCarthy. Hey, Matt. Mark was explaining to us that he doesn't really adjust the strike zone for umpires. I think it's been an issue these games. But basically, what are some things you can do when you're in the box? Only second or third bat, you still don't know where the strike zone is. And are you guys communicating like, all right, this was a ball and like he's calling how does that communication go, and how do you know that your team is not being affected by the umpire's calls and you guys?
Yeah. So we do talk. You know, it's good to get an idea of what the guy's zone is like. You know, it's good when they're consistent with their misses. If they are, you know, maybe a guy is missing the right side of the plate and giving a little more and talk to each other, maybe adjust off that. But, you know, for the most part, you can't adjust your own strike zone too much based off the guy because, you know, for example, Urena yesterday throws a backdoor sinker to Mark a couple times that doesn't get back. You know, that pitch is coming back this way. If he throws a slider off that pitch, you know, it could be a foot outside and Mark would be swinging at it if he lets it, you know, adjust his zone too much. So it's one of those things that, you know, if it happens to you, you just got to wear it. But, you know, with the way we're stepping in the box, you know, trying to do some damage, you can't go in there and hit a pitcher's pitch. You got to kind of stay true to your zone.
Vince Catronio.
Good morning, Matt. Curious on just from a peer's perspective, how impressed have you been with the guys in front of you, the Canna Lowry Laureano combination that is helping kind of set the offense in motion? Didn't know how it was going to set up at the beginning. You know, looking at spring training, it seems like this is a path that Bob is going to go down for at least a period of time. What have you seen? What has impressed you about that?
I mean, they've been nuts, especially Jed as of late. But, you know, we would not be having this winning streak if it wasn't for those three guys at the top of the order. I can say that for sure. You know, they just have been putting together solid at-bats. All of them can leave the yard. All of them can shoot one the other way. All of them can work a walk, you know, 10-pitch walk. Just really professional at-bats that they've been having. And, you know, that's always been Jed's MO and Mark and Ramon. You know, they're just – all three of them are hella hitters and and you know it's been fun to watch, honestly.
With what you discussed in spring training about trying to get yourself in a good position at the plate, and those numbers reflect that, but it was spring training. Do you sense that you've gotten the carryover to this point? That the comfort is still there. The comfort is growing for you in the box.
Yeah, I still feel pretty good. It's been a little weird with. Missing these few games and you know the timing of everything and I just need to stay in the lineup for once and get some consistent at bats. But past couple of days I've felt good. Hit a few balls hard a couple of days ago and got a couple knocks yesterday. So you know it feels like it's pretty close to exactly how I was feeling in spring. So. Yeah, I'm hoping to make a little run here.
Martin Gallegos.
Hey, Matt. I know you guys introduced the virtual reality headsets in spring training. I'm wondering how much you've been using that in the regular season at all, and has that kind of been a benefit to you, I guess, at all this year?
So haven't used it as much during the season. Used it yesterday, actually, for Urena. I like to do it on guys that haven't seen before because it gives you a decent idea of what their motion's like and how their stuff moves. But at the end of the day, there's nothing like being in the box. But for the most part, the dudes who we've seen before and, you know, facing the Astros to start the year, we've seen pretty much all those guys and everything. So I wasn't using it as frequently. But you know, I'll try to watch my eyes today and mainly the dudes that haven't seen before, get an idea of what it looks like coming out of their hand.
Would you say it's kind of embraced by most guys in the locker room? I mean, I know you guys don't want to like rely on it too much, but would you say that you guys are enjoying it, I guess?
You know, I know some guys have it on their own and they do it at home. So I can't say exactly how many guys are using it, but yeah, I know some guys aren't on it. Some guys are. It's just kind of like a personal preference thing.
Matt Kawahara.
All right. Just as a quick follow up to that. Did you, did it help at all yesterday with Urania not having seen him before? I mean, was it similar?
It's pretty similar. The motion is pretty similar. You know, the pitches were pretty close. His sinker was doing a little bit more yesterday than what I was seeing on the VR. You know, that's the thing. It's double-edged sword because, you know, a guy's stuff can be moving differently than, you know, whatever the programming has. So, you know, I could go in after seeing 100 pitches off the guy and the pitches not look at all like it did on the VR thing. So, you know, I'm mainly using it to see the motion, try to get my timing down and, you know, get myself in that good position that I want to be in, based off the motion and the timing of his motion.
And then just a quick follow-up on Jed. I was wondering if you could just kind of put into perspective what he's doing right now in terms of just not having had like a handful of at bats over the past two seasons in the major leagues and to be hitting the way that he is right now, just kind of the difficulty level of doing that.
It's crazy. I'm not surprised because, you know, Jed is very particular in his routine and knows what he wants to get out of cage work, BP. He looks at video. He knows exactly what he wants to be looking at. You know, like I said, he's just a true professional, a guy who's been around forever, just puts together solid at bat no matter what. So from that aspect, I'm not surprised, but man, I mean, I missed two games with, you know, my leg thing and came back and was like, you know, whoa, that 93 looked like 98 and he took 2 years off. You know, it's just a testament to what he's done and staying mentally ready. And, you know, I know those weren't easy years for him. I'm sure he caught a lot of stuff, from media and, you know, I'm just happy to see him out here doing what he's doing.
We have time for two more questions. We'll start with Shayna.
Just following up on the injuries with your leg injury and your thumb injury, how important was it for you to come back sooner than later just to keep your timing going, to your timing up at the plate?
Yeah, I wanted to be back as quick as possible. But for that, I don't do sitting on the bench and watching too well. So I was ready to get back out there and I get pretty bored. So yeah, you know, as soon as I'm ready to play, I'm going to play. I want to be out there, but like you said, you can't let the timing of things get too far away from you, if possible. So, you know, as little time out of the lineup and as little time in the training room I can spend, the better.
One last question from Manolo.
Yeah, Matt, you know, you guys have had probably the largest depth at first base since you have been with the Athletics, because not only yourself, a couple of Gold Gloves, but you also have Mitch Moreman, another Gold Glover. However, you know, I know you want to play every day, but this depth has been put to test at the early of the season, because at the times not only you was down, but also Mitch also injured. Then came up Seth Brown. Could you talk a little bit about the job Seth has been doing at first base? And do you give him some extra advice for him to handle that position?
Brownie's great. you know, he's someone who's been up and down the past couple of years. And every time he comes up, he's excited for the opportunity. You know, he belongs here. He can put together a great at-bat. He's got juice, as we've seen, and he can play a solid outfield and first base. He's a great clubhouse guy. I can't say enough good about Brownie, honestly, but you know, he's sitting there waiting for that opportunity. So when some stuff hit the fan and Mitch and I couldn't go, he was ready. I mean, he's always mentally prepared. So, you know, he don't need any advice from me. He knows what this is all about. He knows what he can do. And that's why he goes out and performs.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.